That's too easy.
You never heard of me? Fucking stupid.
Welcome to What Now, where we take the hottest sports topics, dissect them, correct them, and bring them to you from our perspective. There's a bug in Malin's room. I'm
Jake.
Malin's and Tobias. How are y'all? He was watching that.
I'm good. It just sounded like I was in Chicago outside. I heard a bunch of sirens, and then I don't hear that too often.
What?
That boy on O Block. Hey, that man on O Block right now.
What? Have you been to Chicago?
You've never even been.
Russell said the blackest city he could think of.
I don't know if that's what I would have
said. More so of the roughest.
Yeah. That old black.
It was either that in New York.
North Philly. I ain't got
nothing. Shut up, bro. Shut up.
All right. I don't know about that PA. That
North
PA.
Philly?
Yeah.
That's where Kevin Hart from.
I lived there for about a year.
All right, guys. Let's okay. So, some of us are happy this week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Malin. I forgot. Yeah, what happened on Sunday?
Tobias, quiet. Because don't act like your team did.
No, Jamie, let me have this. You get your moments whenever y'all beat them. Let me have this. Malin. Tell me what happened. All that, you told me that, the Falcons was back. You know, y'all got a new coach, man. Y'all got a new quarterback. Y'all finally got rid of the Matt Ryan era. It's a new Atlanta back. And y'all facing the big bad, not big bad, but the sorry Steelers who have no identity right now. What happened?
All right. On one hand,
mm-hmm.
we sorry. That's one hand.
Oh.
See, both of these hands, one is for just me tearing them down, and the other one is for optimism.
Oh, okay.
So, on one hand, we're sorry. We're not as good as me and other fans thought. Kurt.
Trash.
Hey,
not trash yet.
He just looked
scary. I mean, he coming off Achilles injury. He knows the next injury probably is his career. It was a mental thing. You can even see on his dropbacks, he wasn't driving the ball with his foot. Like, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, Tobias, you want to act like even as sorry as y'all's offense is, y'all defense in the top defense. You act like TJ Watt ain't one of the best defensive players in this generation. You act like you ain't got Minka back there. You act like all these people just left from the defense, like it was just supposed to be some Falcons running up and down the field. And that no. Now, to bring it all together, I just think that Kurt just got to keep spreading the ball out. Our offensive line got to hold up a little more. And we ain't not going to play that type of defense every week. So it's week one. I'm not over yet. It is what it is.
Okay. Y'all give me I want to give my it's not retaliation, but I want to get my serve back to Malin on this. So Malin, first off, thank you for talking about the defense, because I don't say it enough, clearly. I don't think I say it enough about TJ Watt does not get his flowers. He does enough. TJ Watt is, since Aaron Donald's gone, I'm going to make a case that he's the best defender in the NFL right now. I think he is.
Yeah,
And probably outside Aaron Donald, I don't think I've seen me. I'm not saying it's a fact. I'm saying me. I have not seen a better defensive player outside of Aaron Donald.
Now, I ain't going to say, since Aaron Donald gone, I'm not going to say he's better than TJ Watt, but Micah, he looks different still. He does.
Micah is good. Yeah, Micah's good. Miles Garrett is overrated, but that's a side fact from what I want to get to here. First off, I want to applaud y'all's defense, though, because, y'all didn't let up a touchdown, but for some reason, I don't know how y'all still lost 18-20. So y'all's defense was actually okay. Actually, y'all's defense was solid, because it was pretty good. So on the Steelers side, for all Steelers fans watching stuff, I don't know. This is where the toxicity gets on my nerves in the Steelers organization. Because if you watched all the games from the previous year, you would say this game was an upgrade. The offense actually had some type of identity. We went out there, we looked like we knew what we were doing. We sure we didn't score a touchdown, sure. I mean, that's no different than last year, honestly. But the thing about last year, we couldn't sustain drives. It'd be three and out, three and out, three and out. Okay, we get five, six plays, three and out, three and out. This time it was like three and out, three and out. Okay, they get a long drive. Then another long drive, field goal, long drive, field goal, long drive, field goal, punt, punt, three and out, three and out. That was a step up. It's not where we want it to be, but it's progress. I'm like you. I got optimism with Seals offense. I will publicly apologize Justin Fields right now, for now, because he didn't screw up. I sure enough thought he was going to go in there and throw picks left and right because he just doesn't think. But he did something I didn't think he could do, and that was be a pro-style quarterback. Make good reads. Make the right passes. Make the smart choices. Run. Go down for a sack if he needs to. Throw the ball. He did all that. So, check my box in that end. So, not saying Super Bowl loading. Not saying 18 more titles, but I like the direction.
That is because he's a Steeler. If he was not a Steeler and he played the exact same type of game, you would not say that.
Because I was just about to ask him a question. I'm ready to ask him.
Go ahead. What's your question?
What you just said about Justin Fields, does that make him the long-term solution to the Steelers?
No, it does not. Thank you. I'm so glad. Every Steelers fan, I want y'all to listen to me. We need to clip this. Let's put this for Steelers fans. The game that Justin Fields had in Atlanta, even though we won the game, he didn't throw any picks. That does not prove to us that he's a long-term solution. That shows there is a lot of potential there. A lot of potential. It means he can play pro style. And we saw what he could do in Chicago. Like, if he needs to improvise and make some big plays, he can do that as well. So I'm optimistic. But we still need to keep an eye on it.
Now, I told Elijah you were going to come out and sing some Justin Fields praises after roasting him.
Hey, I wasn't even on the Justin Fields training that much, even when he got signed. I was like, okay, that's solid signing. And I was all for him sitting behind Russ the whole year. I wanted him to. I did. I was like, let's let him learn. But I still stand on that. Still do.
All right, so since we're talking about that, Mike Tomlin came out today and said that Justin Fields is going to start next week. Is Russ's career in jeopardy?
No.
Because Russ, if Russ is healthy next week and Justin Fields still plays, and what happens if Justin Fields start playing, let's say he plays the way he does or plays a little bit better and the Steelers keep winning games because their defense is real good. Would they ever put in Russ?
Nope. So you say if Justin Fields actually plays a good game, like a really good game?
No. If Justin Fields keeps playing the same way, but y'all still keep finding ways to win games, would y'all put in Russ?
I don't think Mike Tomlin's a big guy on if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like if Mike Tomlin finds a formula that's winning, he's gonna keep doing. He's not gonna try to change nothing. So I could see him.
If y'all pull off. I don't know what y'all schedule looking like, but if y'all pull off 3-0 or like 4-1, and Justin Fields just looking straight average, Russ' career might be over.
Yeah, honestly, I agree with you. Like if we're 3-0 and Russ and he's still winning, I don't think he's gonna change it. Mike Tomlin's not gonna change it until he needs to change it. Like until like we drop like two or three straight. He'd be like, all right, it's time probably to try to change it up. And it directly relates to Justin Fields. Like, it's just like, oh, and these last two losses, Justin Fields threw 4-5 picks total. Yeah, he going on a bench. 100%. 100%, yeah, 100%. But I don't like, and am I saying that I like this formula? No. Oh, I want to see us take the next step. But knowing, but like, I'm just reacting to what you just asked.
The best thing for the Steelers is for them to be sorry. Not to be mitigated. Being sorry will help the Steelers way more than being mid.
I'm with you.
Definitely.
I'm with you on that. I will say this is a lot less stressful with the Steelers and Michigan not.
Because y'all not delusional. You're not delusional this year. You don't have real hope.
Okay. You see, I'm having positive vibes right now. And he is sitting there throwing stuff in my face. I'm trying to be calm.
You feel good because you went into the game expecting them to lose and they won. So that's why you feel good.
I feel great about that. How them dirty, but rise up, baby, rise up.
Hey, look, I will say,
hey, no,
during that whole game, I was still hopeful. So it wasn't like we were just getting smacked. We had chances to win.
And all you had to do was score a touchdown, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. That was so bad. Y'all couldn't score a touchdown because our offense wasn't going to do it. They weren't going to do it.
Yeah. It don't matter.
All right, let's talk about Miss Buck over here. Would you show some praise for your team, Jamie?
Pretty good. I'm not gonna
Fluke.
Who's y'all playing?
Commander Wars.
The Raiders.
Can I say for real? And this isn't me being biased because I love Baker Mayfield, but even at OU, I would yell at him because he would panic. He would panic and run and whatever. He has matured very much.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't panic anymore. He still runs. He'll do like a little, ooh, but then it's like not a, oh crap. Like he actually.
The best thing that happened.
He's a vet now. He's a vet.
He has matured a lot.
The best thing that happened to Baker Mayfield is to get cut from the Browns.
Yeah.
Or turned away. Exiled. He needed to be humble.
I'm proud of him.
Now he went to three different teams in like 2 years, and he needed that because I think now he understands that he can't just do whatever he want on the field. He'll be out the league, especially when you come as the number one pick because your expectations are already high. So it's like you can only look bad.
Yeah, I felt to build on that. I feel like he's been more of a team player since he's been.
Yeah, he's definitely like good in the clubhouse.
Yeah, like at the Browns, it felt like when he won, he felt like he won, and if he lost, he felt like he lost. But like now, it's like more of a he sees.
I mean, that was a true statement though in Cleveland. It was.
I bet Cleveland will win him back. What they got now?
Oh,
that's James. First of all,
huh?
They got Jameis.
They need to
try him out. Deshaun. Hey.
Deshaun might go to jail.
Hey.
Something happened to Deshaun on that massage table. He ain't come back the same. That ain't him no more.
Your text had me
hollering. They massaged the talent out that boy.
Huh?
The text you sent us had me hollering in the car. He said that one of them fans was mad at his performance.
Hey, it's funny. Actually, like right before the show started, one of my friends on Twitter said the Browns kept one in the bag just in case.
That is.
I mean, agree.
They're trying to get the bag back and they're going to get it. They're going to get back to the organization.
But hold on, we ain't done. You ain't said nothing about
it. Nice. I gotta say something nice.
But let's put some positivity.
Jaden Daniels, once he settled in, looked really good. I'm gonna give him that.
He did.
He looked scary.
He did.
It took him a minute. He was a little nervous, I think. I think he had the bubble guts before the game or something, because oof.
He just had to get that rushing touchdown out of the way.
With Caleb Williams getting all the hype, I feel like it'll help Jaden Daniels because he doesn't have that much pressure. Mm-hmm. So I think it was good for him because the commanders were actually solid last year. Mm-hmm. It's just what's the name kept throwing interceptions. Sam Howell.
Oh, I wrote this down at work. I left it, but I'm glad you said it though. One of my takeaways from week one with the Bears is that I think Caleb Williams is set up for failure.
I can't wait for him to be.
Now, hear me out what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that Pete. Well, yeah, listen.
Crazy. That's crazy hate, Jamie.
What'd you say, Jamie?
I can't wait for him to fail.
Oh my goodness. you on Reek's level right there, dang.
It's never that cut and clear though. I can't wait for him to fail.
No. I just said be a massive bust. He ain't failing. He's making more money than all of us ever will.
No, he's not gonna clean it up if he doesn't pan out.
It's not a massive bust.
But hear me. All right, because
his team's set up so he won't look awful ever.
No, but hear me what I'm saying about him for failure. I'm not talking about the pieces around him. I'm talking about the expectations around him. Like the expectations are so high from like right. It's honestly like it's like franchise generational quarterback or bust. Plain and simple, like. Mahomes level MVP status or bust for him. There's no okay, be a solid quarterback and he's good. No, he has to be great.
Yeah.
And I think all this is setting him up for failure. Like it's a tremendous amount of pressure.
He never live up to it.
No? Huh?
He's never gonna live up to
it. Yeah, I don't think he's ever gonna live up to it.
He could. He definitely could, because you know who lived up to it? His career, his body just failed him. Andrew Luck lived up to that generational talent thing. He started, the Colts were bad when they got him.
But then,
he took around in a year or two.
I think what you just said too, Malin, is he also came in with a good team on paper.
Yeah.
I don't think Andrew Luck's team was this good. So I still feel like they gave Andrew Luck a little grace for like a few years just because the team wasn't that good. And then the NFC is also not as good as the AFC in terms of quarterback play. So that's it. He should be able to make the playoffs with his team and his expectations at the bare minimum.
Exactly. It's not devil's. It's like weird how it's put. He's set up physically like for success so much that I think he's set up for failure. Because like
I can see it. I can definitely see it.
Like it's like he has to be like, we set you up with everything right now, dude. You're the best quarterback we've ever seen come out of college, and since God knows when. And then we've given you the best weapons that we can possibly give you. Your division isn't that hard. Conference isn't that hard. Like, it's a clear path.
Well, their division is kind of tough, though.
Yeah. But he should be able to succeed. That's the whole point of this. And like, and now,
maybe not year one, but say they win, when they win last year, 7, say he wins 8 or 9. He himself worth 1 or 2 more wins.
That's not gonna make the
playoffs. But they missed the playoffs.
No, if they miss playoffs, he's 100%, but like that, a huge bust if they'll make playoffs next year.
That's not true.
I was about to say, come on, bro. Rookie year, you got it. Like, if he win a playoff game in the first 3 years, I'll give you the bust because they got to at least win a playoff game.
No.
That's your problem, Tobias.
No.
You be putting these huge, you go on one side of the wheel so far, so early in people's careers. Herbert, Justin Fields, who else did you do it for? It was one other big one.
Just like y'all doing with Anthony Richardson?
But, huh?
Just like
y'all doing. This is his second year. And I said he's going to be a dark horse MVP. I couldn't think of a real one, so I just called him.
Let's not make this about AR.
But regardless, you can't say Caleb Williams is a massive bust based on this one year.
No. I won't talk about it. I said next year. If he doesn't make the playoffs next year, I think he's going to be.
You didn't say that.
No. Well, then I know I said it, and if I didn't say it, then I'm saying it again. Next year.
We know this is recorded.
We can look back at it, baby. We can look back at it. But next year, I think if they don't make the playoffs, I think he's considered a bust. Because we saw what their defense did. We saw that the Bears got a nice defense. They've got Keenan Allen. They got Adunzay. Who else do they have? What's the third one? It's not Mooney.
But also, if Will Levis wouldn't have been that bad, they could have very easily lost that game.
Hey, I was crying when I saw him on the ground.
That meme was so, he's like, no. Hey, with the coach.
Because it's a funny tweet. You always see so-and-so just fell to their knees in the Walmart aisle. But he really fell to his knees in the game.
Bro, I found like top-tier pre-crash-out behavior. Like mid-play, he didn't even watch them run. He just stayed in one position.
Oh, he didn't give up trying to chase nothing.
That was hilarious.
But Reed, since your game was last Thursday, yeah, I know you got time to calm down. But
yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm more surprisingly, either I've turned a new page in my mental state, or I don't care enough anymore. But I was actually more optimistic about the game than pessimistic, because I don't think people gave enough credit for Lamar driving down the field with no timeouts left, 90 yards. And we really scored. We didn't score a touchdown, but it was caught in the if his toe was a bit smaller, it would have been a touchdown. So it's like I was very happy to show that Lamar has progressed to that point where he can go all the way down the field passing the ball. And because he had a nice throw to Bateman. And then it's the Chiefs. And it's our first game. We got almost a whole new type of team, especially defensively with a new coordinator. And the Chiefs brought back everybody and then added some. So it's like I think we're the second best team in the AFC for sure. But obviously we lost, so it's not going to look like that right now.
I mean, if you watch that game, you can still tell. But the only thing, like, I see why you're optimistic. But the only thing is, Lamar literally played, like, out of his mind. Like, he really put that team on his shoulders when it came time to it. Besides missing those couple throws, he ran the ball over, was it over 12 times? He ain't doing that every game. So, if they can't score regularly, how, like.
Well, I think that's looking at it in a pessimistic way because we look and I think I look at it as it's week one. And our main problem is that offensive line. They got to be better because they was getting tore up. And that's why we couldn't run the ball with Derrick Henry either.
That looked bad. I'm sorry. But that's the only thing about these week one reactions. You got people saying that Derrick Henry just don't fit in with the team. Like, the offense don't mesh with him in at running back. It's like, bro, it's the first week. We got to give at least four.
If he go off for 110, buck 20 next week, then nobody going to talk about that.
Exactly. And it's not because I think Lamar get injured. He's been injured before. That's why it worries me, though. Does he have to keep running like that for y'all to win? Or can he do what he did last year, the year before, you know, run a little less and, you know, just throw from the pocket?
I feel like he was playing like that because it was the Chiefs.
That's what I want to believe.
And he wouldn't have to do that. He wouldn't have to or need to do that. Or he wouldn't have to or want to do that against lesser competition.
Like, he really played that game like it was an AFC championship. You know, like, he really, like, you know, the meme where you play the game, you got to sit up. Like, that's what he did. He started up and started balling. Like,
yeah, he played. He played really well outside of, I think he had a fumble. But that he got hit from behind, so it really wasn't his fault. But yeah, he played well. I liked how Lamar played.
My thing with the Ravens is they gave me 2016 Steeler vibes. Like when they had Le'Veon, Ben, AB, and then that top like five defense.
Ravens do not give you that.
You let me finish my take before, so I can tell you. Gee, so impatient. Hey, so we react.
Talking about the Ravens give him killer beat.
Reacting so quickly. Give me a chance. They give me those vibes.
Because who's AB?
Can you let me finish, Steve? Not in the sense where they have the impact players, but they have that. You know, the offense is such a different feeling where they can put drives together. They can score and command if they need to. What they need to do, they can get it done, and they have a tough defense. Give me those vibes. They're obviously a top three team in NFL from what I saw. They're going to be Super Bowl content, going to be, without a doubt. But that's why they gave me the vibes, because in 2016, what happened? Whenever the Steelers lost on a terrible refereeing, I guess, similar thing to what happened with, now think about it, with the Isaiah Likely, how, you know, his foot was on the line. Same thing happened with Jesse James when they said it was an incomplete pass and really caught and broke the plane. Same thing happened. We lost the Patriots, and that's why we didn't get first round bye. So we was talking about, oh, we're going to see the Patriots again. Can't wait to see it again. We're going to see them again. And they face an underdog in the playoffs, first round, first bounce. That's what it kind of reminds me of. So I think the only team that's going to beat the Ravens, in my opinion, is them. That's why.
And the crazy thing is, I believe 100% both times we played them the last two times, we lost. We beat ourselves.
Yeah, see?
Because Mahomes is not, like, doing nothing crazy. He's just playing regular football. Mm-hmm. And we're beating ourselves. And then I don't know what that illegal formation thing was going. We got like seven of them. And then I think it was like two for the rest of the weekend.
Did they change the rules on it or something? Because, like, I've been seeing a crap ton of that. I mean, maybe it's because it's the first week and, like, they all not line up how they're supposed to. But I've been seeing so many, like, illegal formations. Like, people in that's off balance sets. People, like, seven men are lined up on the line. He said, what?
They only called it on us, though. The Chiefs were doing it all game and they ain't call it one time.
So I think the Ravens are the team to beat, but, like, I think in that point, it doesn't look like they're not. I'm not want to say that they're not composed, but, like, it's always something. Like the past two times with Reeks, it was something where the Ravens beat themselves. That's why they could, because I thought they were the better team in both previous times. I thought Ravens were. They were the better team on paper, talent wise, on the field. But when it came down to it, play by play, like, the Chiefs just made smarter decisions. They play smarter football or something like that. Or they play more discipline. They're more disciplined and they execute it better. That's what I think comes down to. So Ravens got to stay focused, executing. This is their year.
Execution.
Look how unbiased I can be.
Can we talk about the real shock of the game, though?
What shock?
Justin Tucker?
Yeah, he's been, even last year, past 50, I think he missed like a bunch of field goals past 50 yards last year also.
1 of 5.
He's a 1 of 5. Yeah. But he hasn't missed any inside of 50. So it's like, I mean, at some point he's getting old. I know he's gonna have to start missing at some point. I mean, as long as he's automatic from inside the 50, I'm fine. If you start missing from 42, then we got an issue. But I'm fine with the.
I heard a take. Do you think he's still intimidated by Travis Kelce?
Intimidated?
Oh yeah.
That was a take I actually did hear. Like, you think like, it's psychological like with the Chiefs?
I feel like it's for Justin Tucker. He's just not the person to fight back. Like, regardless of who it was. And then also, Travis Kelce, weird, because he did it when no other Ravens were around to defend him.
I'm on board with that. I am on board with that. And, like, bro, you pick on the kicker, go pick on Mark Andrews, or I say it like,
yeah.
Or Roquan Smith or somebody.
Hey, also, Roquan, and he ready to hem up somebody on that sideline.
Roquan knew who it was. Nah, that was weak of me. How you going to say it in the media? You knew who it was. You could have did something about it then.
Because he's in uniform. Buddy was in street clothes.
If he was really about it, like he was talking on post game, he'd have done it right then and there. That's all I
can say. He would have get ejected. Roquan can't be ejected
and fine. He want to see bro outside the stadium.
And he playing the Chiefs.
He was about it. He'd have done something there.
The refs got a quick flag with the Chiefs too.
Hey, you saw them. Hey, you saw them Raiders and the Chargers. Them brawling. That was about it.
The boys was ready this weekend.
All right, let's do my. We gotta move on.
Yep, go ahead, Reed.
Okay, so what now, fans? Hopefully, Malin will start one next week also. But I'm going to try to do a weekly NFL top 10 QB list based on this year only. Trying to be a little different.
Is it fluid week to week?
Yeah. I guess it has to be, right? I don't really understand what it means by not fluid.
Oh, that's just what Stephen A. be saying. It's funny. It's fluid.
But it's not based on. I'm not looking at anything prior to the beginning of week one. So I don't care how many Super Bowls you won. I don't care what you've done in the past. How many games you won. I don't care how bad you looked in the past. I think it's just based on this year. So I'm gonna do 10. I'm gonna try to go fast and be behind time, or since we went long on the first one. Honorable mention: I got Tua Tagovailoa.
So he's basically 11.
Yeah, basically.
Or tied for 10, really.
Yeah, I don't know who to put between him and who I got at number 10. But Tua played a solid game. I think his receivers really make him look better than what he is. Because he'd give Tyreek the ball, Tyreek Hill the ball in 5 yards, and Tyreek takes it to the house. all right, so number 10.
Wait, before you move on, it's going to be quick. I hate to do it, but because this may hurt my argument, but if we're going to say what more does Brock Purdy have to prove with his team around him, are we going to say the same thing about Tua? But, I mean, he can't help who his receivers are.
No, I feel like because we saw Tua before he got Tyreek Hill. We haven't necessarily seen Brock Purdy without Tyreek Hill. So that's where that argument would help Tobias out.
Hey, that's why I said hurt mine. Word for word, ball for ball, I was about to say. Thank you, Tyreek.
However, Brock Purdy's on my list. I'll say that. So I'll get to Brock Purdy. Number 10 is Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford.
Why so low?
Huh?
Why so low?
I think he played well, but I think it was just like, he seemed like he was just going through the motions. And I got Cooper Kupp on my team. He was just lighting up Cooper Kupp. I mean, I love it.
But that second half, though, he put on a little clinic. Like, he was.
Puka was there. He would have got half those targets.
Yeah, sure. But Puka was down the first half, and Cooper Kupp was still getting a bunch of targets. Because he also get the end arounds, he get the runs and all that stuff. Number nine, I got Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold actually he played well yesterday, and they won the game. Matthew Stafford didn't win.
I got to clip our faces on that one.
Sam Darnold looked solid for who they played. The Giants, right? It was the Giants. I think it was the Giants.
Yeah, they faced somebody.
They faced nobody.
It was like 40 to something. Well, no, that was the Saints. I think about my bad.
Yeah, they beat the Giants. Nobody. The Giants are awful. But if you go bash Sam Darnold for being bad, you got to give him credit when he plays good. So yeah. I think
Tua and Matt Stafford, though we're only talking about week one.
Yes, because Sam Darnold, you're only looking at the name. It's not nothing
previous. I'm looking at the week one performances too, because you're not putting in account who they played.
He was 208 yards, two TDs, bro. What
you talking versus about? Who?
Huh?
Versus who?
I'm sorry, bro, but I'm sorry. He played well.
And who did Matt Stafford put on a clinic versus who?
I don't even know he did. That's how bad it was. I don't even know.
He played a Super Bowl contender in the Lions.
Bro, make your own list, man. All right, number eight, I got Brock Purdy. Now, I think Brock Purdy did I feel like this is something that Tobias was looking for, so I hope it would help you see the light. He played a full game, first week of the season, without Christian McCaffrey. Apparently, Christian McCaffrey, they realized he couldn't play 2 days or 2 hours before the game, or no, it was like 20 minutes before the game, which screwed me in fantasy. But they said they knew Friday.
Hey, they ain't had to do Jordan Mason like that, though, man.
I'm going to tell you, thank you for mentioning his name, because I'm going to rebate this. Brock Purdy did play without Christian McCaffrey. He played, I'll even go a step further. He played basically without IU. No, Ike, so just Debo and a backup running back. Okay. But to combat that, what was it? I think the time possession was like 17 more minutes than the Jets. So Jets weren't doing anything on offense. That's one thing. And also, they ran the ball like 80% of the time. And then Brock Purdy just throws a 5 yard little out just to get a couple yards, just to control the possession.
He was throwing that thing over the middle.
Huh?
He was throwing that thing over the middle. Don't do that.
To what? Oh, yeah. Well, it was one George Kittle and like one to, who was it, Jennings guy, I think it was. Like two.
You know what it sound like? Moving the goalposts, bro.
Like I said.
And I'm not trying to take this back to last year or college football, but that was my same literal argument from JJ McCarthy and you. Ah, that's our scheme. That's our scheme. He can't help what to do outside of our scheme. So, come on.
Well, the scheme. Here's the thing: is that we're putting other people in the San Francisco scheme, and it's working. And then we do it with Michigan right now. You see what's going on? They look like buns. So
in a top 15 matchup game last year, in the whole second half versus Penn State, he threw the ball like six times.
He was hurt. The man, he was hurt the whole half, so that he couldn't throw the ball. They had to hand it off.
You ain't say that last year.
This is not college football yet.
My fault. Keep going. But I'll be remembering his little arguments that he'd be trying to make, and I throw it back at him. He'd be trying to come up with an excuse.
It did not work this time. It was proven faulty.
All right. Number seven. I'm going to go number six and seven. Number seven is Lamar, and number six is Patrick Mahomes. The only reason I put Patrick Mahomes over Lamar is because Patrick won the game. But Lamar outplayed Patrick Mahomes in that game.
I put Mahomes, if that's the case.
I ain't going to say I don't have a problem with where you put Mahomes, because I do, but that's beside the point, because he didn't do anything outstanding. But with the way Lamar played, him being that far back, I don't know too many people that played better.
He lost the game.
Being modest right now.
He lost the game.
So purely a QB stat win guy or QB win stat guy?
I'm taking it all into account. Because he played really well, but I can't put you number two and you lost the game at the end of the day.
Because it's about individual quarterback performance.
He did turn the ball over once, but he didn't impact the game enough for them to win. So I can't.
He was the only impact on offense.
Hey, bro, you know who you're talking to? I agree.
Yeah, you got to keep making these lists. Hey, we told you in the chat you was going to be spewing some.
You hate against my own quarterback?
That's what it sounds like. I don't know what's going on today.
So Lamar is number 7. Patrick Mahomes is 6. Number 5, I got Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels. I took, for this one, I specifically took expectations into it also, which is probably not fair because I didn't do that for everybody else. But Jaden Daniels' expectations were low, and he exceeded them in his first NFL game. So, and they won the game, right? No. They lost to the Bucks, but he played really well in that game for him, for it being his first start, especially if you compare him to Caleb Williams. Caleb was awful, and they won the game. Number 4 is Anthony Richardson. I think Anthony Richardson showed signs of greatness. Now, that consistency throughout the whole game was an issue, but some plays look like, oh, if he can do that consistently, he's the best quarterback in the league. And that's why I had him as my dark horse MVP. So Anthony Richardson is number 4. Number 3 is CJ Stroud. CJ played solid, and they won the game. And it was against the Jags, so it's a kind of a Or not the Jags. It was the who they play? Who the Texans play? Somebody help me out.
I think they did play the Jaguars.
No, Miami played the Jags.
Did they not play the Colts?
The Colts. Yeah, and so they beat. That's why he's above Anthony Richardson too. So CJ, he didn't do anything spectacular either, but he played well. And he beat Anthony Richardson. Number 2, I got Baker Mayfield. Baker played an exceptional game. The competition overall, the Commanders are probably not that good, but he played a great game. Baker played a phenomenal game. I didn't expect him to play that well, I'm not going to lie. I expected Baker to be solid this year, but I didn't expect him to play that well. And number 1, I'm being unbiased, I got Josh Allen. Josh Allen won the game, and he had 4 total touchdowns.
Wait, and honestly, Josh Allen praise from Tyree? What?
And honestly, I feel like he played a similar game to Lamar, but Josh Allen won. So he's up there. Even though Josh Allen's the only, he might win MVP just because he don't got nobody else on his team. But that's my list for week one QB top 10 list.
Can we change the name of your list?
Sure, I don't care.
To where it's not ranking the quarterbacks, we're just grading the performances each week.
Well, it's going to include the weeks before. So like Josh Allen will have more leeway to drop down. Like it's only gonna start at the beginning of week one, if that makes sense. I'm not taking anything before this season, but in week 5, I'm going to take into account weeks 1 through 4.
So by the end of the year, it'll be an actual ranking.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I guess I can live with that. But when you put this graphic out, ooh, they're going to be on you. They're going to be on you, boy.
They were like, Donald got the biggest reaction. That's because his name, though. But go ahead.
Anybody have any good or bad things to say about the list?
Overall, I think
it's good. For now.
I'm sorry,
dude. It's because Baker is number 2.
I'm going to let it slide.
Where my boy Kirk at?
He didn't even make the list.
Hey, I'll tell you who Kirk was higher than.
Who?
Joe Burrow. Oh, my God.
That was rough.
Daniel Jones. Even
though he's not on the list, Trevor Lawrence might have had a better throw than AR.
No.
We can't.
There's...
I think...
There's two other players that you forget, too. You're forgetting... I think Chris Boswell deserves to be on that list because the man not only... Listen, hear me out.
QBs.
Man, the kicker, yes. Not only...
It's QBs.
It's a quarterback list.
You didn't hear another position in that whole list of time.
Like, I'm talking about top performers. I'm like, all time.
Hey, that boy's so happy about that win he giving.
I was gonna say Chris Boswell and Jake Moody should have been on, like, if you could give him Office Player of the Week, you could. But
you had me thinking, like, Chris Boswell, that's a quarterback? Who he played for?
Right, I was like,
that's what I was about to say, Chris Boswell.
I was like, that didn't sound familiar.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what now? It's been a long day. I'm still catching up right now.
And if you're being honest, I think Aubrey played better than both of those kickers.
Cool.
Oh. Brandon Aubrey on the Cowboys, according to fantasy.
How about say that, man?
How was he on fantasy?
He beat me.
I think he had like 22 or something like that.
Nah, know. Boswell and
stop talking about Boswell, but we don't care about him, bro.
Boswell, listen. The punter went down. This man booted him.
I did see that.
That's a flex right there for you to go, what, 6 for 6 on field goals, two for two on 50. And then when the punter gets hurt, a season ending injury, you go in and then boot it like 60 yards. That's a flex.
The punter's out for the season?
Yeah, he out for the season.
I didn't know that. I thought he was watching that when he got hurt.
He about to get paid too, because he's going to get a lot of punts. He about to get a lot of chances to show off his punts. With that offense.
Hey, listen. I mean, I want to laugh harder, but I can't.
Go ahead, bro. Go talk. maybe you'll be happy next week. Like me, Jamie, and Tobias.
I don't know if we'll be happy next week. Nah, I don't know about that. Let's not.
I'm a Bucks fan now.
Woo!
Bro, we going to – what is September 10th? By October 10th, we're going to be singing a different tune about my Dirty Birds.
You willing to double down on that take right now?
Or man, I picked him to win the division. What you mean?
Yeah,
it's week one. I told y'all. After week four, that's when you start getting a little worried.
I'm sorry, we have to rethink that after watching the Saints. Either the Panthers or that.
It was the Panthers.
I'm telling you, bro. Bryce Young got 2 years left in the league.
If he make it, they setting that boy up to perish,
bro. Yeah. That's mean. Like, how y'all gonna say that? Man, career
about y'all that. Go ahead and talk about college football. I got to put my clothes in the jar.
Let's talk about college football.
Okay. I really don't want to talk about it.
I don't got much to say other than Texas acting like they did something by beating Michigan is out of control.
Thank you.
Hold up.
No. Okay, go ahead, man. We're about to tag team. We're going to tag team this.
All knew Texas was going to win. Michigan lost so much of their core players, their coaching staff. It's not. Okay. They won the national championship last
year.
Thank you. Okay. That's a completely different team.
Thank you.
So why are you acting like? I mean, my gosh. Also, planting the flag, honey, you're not Baker Mayfield.
Go off.
Do that.
Go off, Jamie.
Who was Baker playing?
Ohio State, baby.
He grabbed. Yeah, that was Kansas. I was about to say, no, that was Kansas. My fault, game.
Yeah.
And then the flag stood for like, what, a half a second?
That was like he did
without confidence. Like he was unsure about it. And it ran away.
Because he didn't want to get jumped.
But anyways, but what Jamie was saying is 100% accurate. I don't know. This must be a whole bunch of casuals that watch college football, because anyone who follows the sport knows that Michigan lost their head coach. They lost their defensive coordinator. They lost outside of half the coaching staff. They lost their starting quarterback, their starting running back, both their starting receivers, the entire offensive line, plus three of them that were backups. Then they lost two of the edge rushers, not done, three of their linebackers, and then four starting defensive backs. And everybody's now in Texas flexing. Like, we just did that thing. We beat it. They're flexing and stuff. Come on, man.
I'll give you Jim Harbaugh. I'll give you that one. But are y'all not a top program? Not team. Program. Are y'all not supposed to be a top program who rebuilt? Isn't it supposed to be reloading? I mean, yeah, reload instead of rebuild. What y'all rebuilding for after one championship?
I just love how you're asking this question, because not even 9 months ago, not only you, but all the SEC fans are dogging on Michigan, talking about, oh, they ain't built like that. They can't rebuild. They know that y'all don't really respect or consider Michigan as one of the top programs. But when They're set up for failure. Like, yo, yeah, Michigan should, they should be that team that, that can be reloaded. They should
but
be
those are opinions. It is a fact that over the years, y'all are supposed to be a top program year in and year out, whether you make the playoff or whether you win one game. You're supposed to be a top program. People should want to come there. So with that being said, yes, y'all lost one of the best coaches y'all ever had. Y'all should have already had the depth behind you. Why don't y'all have more players like Donovan Edwards? Why ain't y'all got more players like Roman Wilson?
And well, now we're getting into that. If you
why y'all ain't got that award-winning offensive line?
If you really want to know why Michigan lost, it's because of that offense. It's because of the offense. Really, because they ain't got, because that what they said, the quarterback is a he's a no-star high school recruit, and that pisses me off. Why we have a five-star quarterback that's a red shirt right now. Take the red shirt off of him and put him in the game. We still got Donovan Edwards, we still got Colston Loveland, we still got a lot of stars that you're talking. We still have that star talent. But we have got, I don't know what Sharon. I love Sharon. Sharon, I love you. I love you. But man, put aside that morality, that Michigan man stuff, that put aside all that loyalty stuff, and man, just put the best people in the game. Just please, please, for the love of sake, do that.
And not because I'm not cheering for him whatsoever, because we got to play him. But to be on Texas' side at this point in time, they played the number ten ranked team in the country.
Not no more.
They went to the Big House.
Okay, now we
and have defeated the defending national champions. When y'all first made y'all's big jump, the first time y'all beat Ohio State, was that not y'all Super Bowl?
It was. I ain't gonna lie.
All right.
I was so with that like being said, been here before though, act like you've been here before.
Why is that always a thing?
They haven't
act like that. Why can't we be happy?
Jamie, I'm here.
I don't want any of them to be happy. I see.
That's all we needed. That's all we needed. Not to
buy. Everything she says now is biased.
I'm agreeing. When you explain like that, I get it. If Texas, I actually don't per se have a huge problem with Texas being happy. Quentin Ewers, he handled it right and stuff. But the rest of the media, about now they acting like, okay, Michigan was supposed to be this is a championship compete. Let's be honest. Do you think Michigan has a shot at championships this year? Be honest. Do you?
No.
So why was this? So what's his reaction about? Why are we acting like Texas just beat Alabama like right now?
Well, one, because
USL,
especially since last year, everything we've been hearing is Texas is back. So you come out the first week of the season and of your national championship run, because that's what they're supposed to be on, and you not only win, but you win big. I'm talking about you foot on the neck the whole time.
Come on, the first game?
Yeah, foot on the neck the whole time in one of the quote-unquote hardest environments to play in.
You talking about Michigan or Colorado State game?
let's hear. I'm going to correct this too, because Texas did come out shaky that first drive. They came out shaky, bunch of false starts, missed kicks, mixed passes and stuff. It was just dumb mistakes, but Michigan beat themselves. Texas looked nice. I don't want to say that Texas did look
thank
nice.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie, for being
I'm going to defend them on that. Come on.
Texas.
Y'all did not beat yourself.
They look good, but Michigan made terrible plays. Had some terrible plays. Missed blocking assignments. Fumbles.
You don't beat yourself 31-12.
Thank you. And it was really 31-6 if it wasn't for the very end of the game.
The whole
you beat yourself if it's a one score game.
Okay. Yeah, you find one thing y'all want to dwell on. The whole gee, y'all found one thing. It was like, oh, let's hammer at that point. We found a point. Let's keep pushing it. The whole point is that people are blowing this win out of portion. It's a stepping stone win for Texas. Sure, but it was not the big test.
Listen, bro, you're just hurting right now.
Thank you.
You don't need you have a championship in your back pocket. You don't need to hurt, bro. Just accept it.
I am fine.
They did it. Listen, I see your eyes, bro. Just calm down. All right. You letting it spew out.
All right, who's the quarterback? What's the quarterback name for Michigan?
Yours?
For Michigan.
I don't know. I don't care about Michigan.
Well, the who should be playing is the dude who got a crazy last name.
Orgy?
Yeah. That's who should be playing. He should be playing.
But yeah. Davis Warren, I mean, in
that was a middle school joke.
Hey, look, I ain't want to come on here and making it sound bad. So I just wanted to throw that out.
You didn't even have said that.
RG3 used to have a ball that he used to love saying that name. Love saying that. But
anyway, to get off Michigan,
yeah.
Davis Warren.
We're gonna go to the Jamie's favorite team. What y'all think about Prime and the old Buffalo?
Colorado. Oh. Yeah.
I thought it was Oklahoma. Oh.
Listen, the problem is I've been seeing this. Wait, are we talking about Colorado or
yeah.
Okay. I've been seeing people say, and y'all know I'm not a big watcher of college football. I'm getting there. But the problem is they got a bunch of old linemen from the hood. They need some old linemen from the country, the farms.
Yes.
Those are the ones that they need. The country farms.
That is true.
All these little old linemen want to be all flashy and stuff. No, they need some people that meet the
flashy game. Wearing they grills and chains and listening to Boss Man Deal. I want my offensive line to listen to what's his name?
Luke Coleman.
Yeah, they need some people that's been in the mud. You tackle pigs. You're not
that's
running.
That's that portal stuff.
They go catfish noodling, frog gigging.
There you go.
They don't need dogs. They need hogs. That's what they need.
There you go.
Natural strength. They need them. And then on top of that, I hate to say it, week after week, because I'm a fan of Colorado, but week after week, Prime losing the players every single week. The longer Shador and Travis stay on that team, the worse it's going to get because that's all he cares about.
I think
did he not leave the game early when they were losing?
He did. I did not.
That was lame.
He blamed the offensive line in the media. He said,
I mean, he's not wrong, but you don't say that.
You can't do that.
You don't say that, especially as a starter. As a potential top five NFL quarterback, that's just going to hurt stop right there.
Early hurt it too.
As a leader and a quarterback, you can't do that. Like, you can't
walk on
the team and you can't go in the media and blame them. Like, as a quarterback, you're supposed to be the leader of that offense and then quite possibly the team.
If I'm on that team, Shador was the only one to go to the locker room during that time. He wasn't hurt.
Do y'all think Deion would leave once his children and Travis get drafted?
I think I could see it.
The few high school recruits that they did get, unless they are just promised some crazy amount of crazy playing time this year, they're going to transfer. Because when Shador and Travis leave, that place is about to turn to dumpster fire.
Yeah, why are we asking if Deion's going to leave? Why are we not asking the question, would Colorado Deion, if they get a better opportunity, something that's a little less loud and has a little bit more.
But I think the Colorado, they haven't had that. So like
you know how much money they're making?
Yeah, from just Deion. Like being on TV is like so big for their school.
their application last year, their applications went up like a couple 100%. Like they got so many applications. That's school funny. Making money, the city's making money. They're not getting away. They're not leaving him. He's gonna leave them.
Yeah, they don't care about winning or losing football. But money.
I think at some point it's got him. Maybe not now. I'm not saying like next year, but I'm saying at some point, if Deion is still there for 3 years and it's still these 3-9 seasons, and I mean, when is it's going to translate somewhere? That loss is going to translate somewhere. Either people going to start to see, all right, Carl's all hype. It's not really as good as we thought it was. Blah blah blah. It's going to die down at some point.
Yeah, they need to get to a bowl game.
Yeah.
I want to see him coach without Shador and Travis, though, and Shiloh. I want to see him with a team he has nobody that he considers his own kid. I want to see him just be a regular coach, not a dad coach.
Warren Sapp seemed like a better coach to him, like from the interviews I've been hearing.
I thought the defense would be better.
Yeah, like Warren Sapp really care about those kids. Like, well, he's like the analyst or something, but his interview, you can tell he really cares about those players.
He called. They got to hit that portal harder.
He said, "They're my babies."
But at this rate, it's going like top players ain't gonna want to go there.
I wouldn't. Why go there when my thing is why go? It seemed like a reality TV show going there. Like it seemed like
But if you, I feel like if you're a second tier player, that's not gonna get, like, you're on the verge of maybe you'll get drafted, maybe you won't. It's a good place to go to be seen.
It's a upper class last chance you, basically.
Yeah, like, especially like if you're
stars, last chance you.
Especially if you're a position that's independent mm-hmm. on yourself, like cornerback or something. I feel like that's a good place to go to be seen on really how you can do. Like, I wouldn't go there for as a receiver.
Yeah, no. And I just got three shout outs real quick because I don't want to stay too long. First one, Tennessee is gonna be scared again.
I agree.
That quarterback, they trying to say he the best since Peyton Manning been there. But
take everything Tennessee fans say with a grain of salt, though.
I mean, they didn't say that when Hendon Hooker was there. They just said they were going to win the ship. Ooh, I don't think they're going to win the ship. I don't even think they come out of the SEC, but they're going to be a tough team.
They didn't play nobody, right?
They played NC State last week. They were ranked before this week came out, 51-10. They did what they needed to do.
Even if they beat an unranked team, you should tell how they win the game. You should tell you what kind of team they are. It should tell you.
They got Oklahoma in a couple weeks. That'd be a good test.
Tennessee, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Shoot, we got to see that.
But remember, Oklahoma in SEC too. Also, where is it at? Oh, also Bama.
USF, baby. We almost had them second year in a row.
If you just looked at the score, you'd be like, oh, okay. But if you watched that game, it was literally what, 16-12 or something like that?
I think it was like 14. We almost had them.
16-14, USF was leading in the halfway through the third quarter. Now, I don't know what. I stopped watching. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what the offense did.
You should have kept watching.
That's what I said. I said
you're the only reason that they was in the game.
I don't know what the offense did, but they turned it up a notch. And they scored 20-something unanswered.
In USF in Bama's defense, I think USF did this last year with them too, right? USF isn't no pushover team. Like, USF is a solid team. So they see Bama.
The bigger teams just need to take their blueprint. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I mean, if you do the same thing with better talent, you should get better results. Yeah. You know?
They ran
and then game. Lastly, oh, what you about
Jamie,
to say, Bob?
Jamie, you went to their school?
Yeah.
You went to school, right?
Yeah.
That's and then lastly, Oregon.
My bad. Oh, yes. Please. Thank you, Maitland. Thank you for bringing
that Oregon up. Might not.
Nope.
Boise State is way better than everybody thinks they are, or Oregon is just not as good because that game should have been close. But shout out to I forgot his first name, but Ante, however you say that, running back for Boise State. Right. He's got 9 touchdowns in the first 2 games. They played Georgia Southern the first game.
Yeah.
For 270 and 6 touchdowns. So I'm just like, all right, you know, if Boise State is good, that's just Southern. Well, but he ran for another 200 yards at 3 touchdowns versus Oregon, and that's supposed to be a top team.
Well, Oregon barely beat, I'm looking at it now, they barely beat Idaho the first week
before. You know? So like, I haven't watched.
They're not that nice. Like,
I haven't watched any of them play. I haven't watched the game. But maybe Gabriel isn't what they want. I don't know.
You hate to see it. You hate to see it.
I'm saying that in the Big Ten, it's mostly 3 yards and a cloud of dust football. Like, it's ugly, rough, tough physical football. If you're letting Idaho and Boise State go blow for blow with you, you're going to have some issues. Because wait till you see Wisconsin, Iowa. them teams that like to play that style of football, they like to just run the ball and punch you in the mouth and just play defense, they are going to have a long season.
And they got Oregon State next.
That should be – we'll see how they do versus them. If they struggle against them, it's going to be a long season.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they usually struggle against Oregon State?
They do. It's a rival. It's a rivalry.
I mean, a little bit. But when they had Bo Nix, they pulled away or they either – just went down and did what they needed to do.
Dylan should have stayed in Oklahoma.
Period.
Yeah.
You hate.
Oh, I forgot one more. As good as we talked about Notre Dame, that's embarrassing. You finally look like you might be able to do something.
That was crazy.
You ruined it in 2 weeks.
As I'm sorry, Bring Michigan is, but I was so happy because this is the worst upset since App State Michigan. So I was so happy to get this. I'm like, thank God somebody else did it. Because
that was crazy.
Like they've been bad the last 2 years, and to have them come into Notre Dame Stadium and win.
I hate to say it, but Riley Leonard was, when he was at Duke last year, he had like 3 good games. And that just propelled him up to the top of the college quarterback world. And now he gets put in on a big stage at Notre Dame. And in the first 2 games, he ain't even thrown a touchdown pass.
Ooh.
Like, come on, bro.
Ooh, buddy.
That is crazy. Marcus Freeman is going to take a little longer.
Are they in a division now?
Nope.
No. I mean, a conference?
Nope.
I saw something on.
And that's what's going to hurt them.
Yeah, I was about to say, because they keep jumping around the country and just facing all these different type of teams. The reason why a lot of these teams are successful right now is because they get in the conference and they get familiar with their opponents. Right now, Notre Dame is just jumping around and facing all different type of people. And logically, you think that'd be better, especially when it comes to the playoffs, but it's not. They can't establish a rhythm. They can't find an identity with themselves because they're so busy adjusting themselves to how Alabama plays. Then they get just how Iowa plays. Then they get adjust to how San Jose State, who plays West Coast football, plays. It's too... Mm-hmm. They need to get a conference. They have to.
Without the conference, at best, even if they went undefeated, they could only be at the highest, the fifth seed, because they don't have a conference championship game. So, with that being said, this loss already hurts them. They lose one more, it's over. Like, I don't care if you 10-2 and you number 7 in the country. You lost to Northern Illinois and you don't have a conference championship game. What can we do for you?
Yeah, they it's like they're scared almost.
They are.
They are scared of the big game.
That's why they stopped scheduling. Y'all know that's exactly why they stopped scheduling Michigan on Notre Dame games. Because we beat them like 4 times in a row and they stopped scheduling. Right.
And they just run through their little week schedule every year, getting the playoffs, or back when it was BCS, might get a bid to the national championship, and then they get blown out.
Mm-hmm. They don't face any of those big SEC or Big Ten teams anymore.
Their biggest game is USC.
Huh?
Their biggest game is USC.
They always face USC, though. And USC hasn't – let's be honest. Since Pete Carroll, USC ain't been – what are you – like, now is probably the best we've seen them since then. Like, they really haven't been all that.
But they had Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams, so you know the eyes are going to be on them.
Yeah.
Ranked – the only other ranked team they play that's ranked right now is – oh, well, two. No, one, Louisville. They got Tech. They got Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, they ended their – Tech to the top race last week.
I really was looking forward to having Atlanta team good. I was going to go to the game.
Like, this guy
college
here.
Game close
bandwagon.
Atlanta team. Go to a college game like that.
You could be a Falcons fan,
or you could go to a Georgia State game.
See, you two fake college football fans. It's more about appreciation of the sport than it is the team.
What?
You were gonna cheer for them or?
No, I was going to enjoy the college football atmosphere because I'm a true college football fan.
So am I.
You sure?
Yeah, so am I.
Okay, Tyree, that's where we draw the line.
I'm an Oreo.
That's where we draw it.
All right, should we?
Oh, yeah. We gotta get serious now.
All right, I'm going to let y'all bring it up. It's probably not. It's, I don't know.
Okay, I mean, you can't. I mean, it's something.
Well, it's probably all right. a little more appropriate.
I'll do it.
That makes sense.
I want to hear what Malin got to say because he seemed
just determined. Before Malin and anybody goes, just give you guys.
I didn't want to go first.
All right, let me explain it to the What Now fans first. So, the next topic we're going to talk about is about the Tyreek Hill situation. So, as we know, about 3 hours before the game on Sunday between Miami and who was it? Miami and
Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville. Tyreek Hill got pulled over, going 114 in construction zone, which is dumb.
And not wearing his seatbelt, allegedly.
Not wearing seatbelt. So they pulled him over, but that's beside the fact. Body cam footage.
I thought they said today he was going only 60.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, then.
I was about to say, where did 114 come from?
I saw 114 on
Twitter. I heard was he wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
I heard reckless driving.
He wouldn't have got pulled over, I don't think, for the seatbelt, because they wouldn't have made a
speeding ticket, and then he got pulled over, and then basically, I mean, if you watch the body cam footage, they pulled him out the car, roughing him up and stuff, and arrested him.
So to be clear, to be fair on both sides, the cop, I think, asked him to put his window down to get his license and registration. And he did it. He put his window down, gave it out the window, and put his window back up. And then the cop asked him again, keep your window down. And he was hesitant to do that. And then I think he asked him like twice. And then that's when they opened the door and pulled him out.
Well, he was also speaking to them. Not that it makes any of their reaction okay, but just like you're playing devil's advocate, he was being a little disrespectful. You just cooperate. It was not. Their reaction was out of control. Like,
I didn't. Power trip,
but he was being a little disrespectful.
They were definitely on a power trip, but I do agree with Jamie. Because as much as I was on the just straight Tyreek Hill side, which I'm still on, reading different stuff, different comments about on different platforms, there were a lot of Black people in the comments saying, I've been pulled over this many times. I've been pulled over for this and that. And as long as I showed the officer respect, they respected me. So, and that's been the case for me too, personally. But that's still no reason to aggressively pull anybody out of the car, or when they're already in handcuffs, come up behind them and put them in a chokehold and get them on the ground. There's no room for that. But I just wanted to say the play devil's advocate too, that he was being a little verbal and disrespectful.
But they were definitely on their power trip. They wanted,
they
were cops, and they wanted to show that they had whatever authority they had. And I don't really understand it, but.
Yeah, the
fired. I hope they are, because it was, I don't know,
kind of listening to them. The best way to keep yourself out of that situation is try to follow all the rules as possible, even if it doesn't seem like the correct way. But as far as like you said, all of that, it's like stuff like that is like scary, because it's like they could have just a bad day. A cop could, because they're still human at the end of the day, but they have power. And if they just had a bad morning, they didn't drink their coffee or something, and you get pulled over by the one cop that is not having a good day, then anything can happen. And it's like, because at the end of the day, all he was doing was speeding. And it's like, he was in handcuffs outside of his car on the ground, face down. And like coming from speeding to that is.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Insane.
And to play devil's advocate on the reverse, I guess, of what I was saying, all he did was be disrespectful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was being disrespectful, but to reverse it, I mean, all he did was talk a little funny. He didn't cuss him out. He was just getting a little attitude. Like,
And it's almost like he knew that that was Tyreek Hill, and was like, this is a chance to show power against somebody that has power in the city, I guess.
And you even hear what he said. He goes, when we tell you to do something, you actually do it. Like, bro, that's not a dog. Like, you don't talk to people like that.
I agree. Everything y'all said, build on that. I mean, and I was talking to my parents about this too. I've never personally experienced police brutality, you know, but I don't know about any of you, but I have been profiled for a few times, more than a few times I have. I'm glad this happens, but I'm glad that it was Tyreek Hill. Because now it shows I don't know why there's so many people out there that think, we're making this type of stuff up. We're exaggerating about it, or, the Black person is probably acting some type of way, they're cussing out the cop, and, they're actually, being aggressive and pulling away. You watch that old video, Tyreek didn't resist, he didn't do anything. I mean, I guess, like you said, if you want to play devil advocate, sure, he had an attitude, but would you not be pissed off if you got a speeding ticket? I've been pissed off for
it. And
he's going into work.
You heard him say, I'm about to be late.
He's probably late and stuff. So
all he that did cooperate though too after all that He cooperated.
Exactly. So all that happens, and then you get ripped out of your car. You know, the dude just had surgery. They're jacking up his knee stuff. Not only that, then he's talking to his teammates some type of way. Give me your license. All right, I'm about to lock you up. I'm about to lock you up. Give me your license. He's talking to them all type of ways and stuff.
Yeah, like, he's telling him to leave. And then
this stuff is real. Like, we are not making black people are not making this stuff up. You saw this is Tyreek Hill. This is somebody that you don't know him personally, but you know of him. This isn't some not made up dude, but like some dude you probably think is fake. Because, you know, you hear about theories. They think George Floyd is fake and all the other people's fake. This is not a fake thing. This is a real person. You're seeing this actually happen. So it's hurts. It's sad when you look in the comments and you still see ignorant comments like that. Like, oh, but I want to see what he did. What did Tyreek Hill do? Like, oh, you know, and people actually think Tyreek's at fault. And I'm not playing on dang devil advocate. I think it was 100% too much on the cop side. Too much.
And
I'm not saying all cops are bad. Like Tyreek Hill said, you know, there's always some bad apples. I'm not saying all cops are bad, but they definitely use this.
It makes me think too, like how it was like before they had dash cams, but the camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's the only reason we can even have a talk about it because the video came out. Because without the cameras and all that stuff, even with the people recording like the George Floyd and all that stuff, it's that's the only thing that we can hang our head on to show people that it's not that we're not making this stuff up.
Yeah.
And it's like it was before they had the cameras and all that stuff, it's like scary to think about. We couldn't even defend ourselves from mm-hmm. stuff like that because they know that nobody's watching. And the fact that they're still doing it, knowing that their camera is recording everything.
How stupid do you have to be? I mean, it's one thing to do, but like you're literally being recorded. Did you think people were gonna be like, "Oh yeah, you showed him"? Like what?
Like you're recording yourself.
You're
also, you should know nobody, not black people, not white people, no race. Your manners shouldn't depend on like your safety. Like
no, yes,
I
correct.
I shouldn't have to be a polite person, or else I could be in danger. That's not normal. Like that's just not okay. Like if everyone has bad days, like even on the cop side, everybody has bad days. So everyone may not be in the right mood, but that shouldn't determine the safety of somebody else.
Yeah, as long as the cop is not in physical danger, then it should never get physical.
Right. I mean, I may be being too radical with this, but like as like Tyreek Hill said, he said, "What if I wasn't Tyreek Hill?" I'm thinking like, shoot, what if this was just some known? This is my theory. Is I think if this wasn't Tyreek Hill, that could have been much worse. They could have jacked him up if they wanted to. But I think because they knew it was Tyreek Hill, even you heard the cops say this is Tyreek Hill.
Like he was like, you know what that is, right? That's one of the Dolphins star players.
Yes, exactly.
Like the regular cop that said that was like, oh man, we done messed up.
Yeah, you know, and that's when he was trying to calm and he's like, yeah, we didn't.
And then you get. Even if it wasn't Calais Campbell, even if it was just another spectator wanting to know why you're hurting this man like this, why you got to put him in handcuffs too?
Exactly.
What did he do? All he did was ask what's going on.
Yeah, and like this. And he did have his brother.
And for people don't know, don't do this just to be a difficult person, but like legally, you do not have a roll down window. So the cops talking about roll down window, you don't have to. He gave his license, all he did. He didn't have to roll down window. So. All the other stuff is just extra, you know.
When I see a video. Okay.
Well, I'm saying his windows were tinted. They couldn't really probably see what he was doing in there, so that's probably why they wanted
him. I don't care why they did.
I'm just saying.
Now the tinted part, you have to just because you don't know if he's doing something weapon wise or whatever.
Yeah, he could be getting a gun.
However, yeah, they. So he should have. Of course, he should have did. He should have just did it.
But what's also? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say what's also sad is those cops, at least two of them, I think, they were also a minority. So that's a minority treating another minority that way. I don't know if you heard the accent. They were definitely.
Yeah, they told Tyreek Hill, they're like, oh, we're brown too. We're people of color too. Don't act like that's a big deal. Like, what do you mean? It is a big deal.
It is.
You're supposed to be representing the minorities as police force.
Because. I mean, obviously I'm white, so I can't really speak on it, but I mean, Latino people get profiled too. They get stereotyped too. So I don't like, why are you furthering like the agenda and the hate? And I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to me.
Power trip.
Yeah,
people get power. They saw that car, they saw that jewelry, and they said, okay, we got one.
Right. Even if they don't know who he was, you know he got some type of money.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so this is like, yeah.
It could be, and it could, I mean, even if you want to take away from it, it could have been more of a rich person, lower class, upper class type of thing. Like, oh, this person got some power and stuff. Is my, it's like, who said it? Was it Jamie or one, either Tyreek or Jamie said it? It's my opportunity to show I got some authority. Even like when he told Calais came, he was like, no, you're dealing with me now. Like, that was straight up. He
yeah,
juiced up, and I'm the man. I got all the power in the situation.
The other cop literally said, you're fine, just go. And then the other said, no, he needs to give me his ID. Like, bro, calm down. He just told me I can go.
Yes.
And then that's when you're in the situation where it's like, okay, now it's like, okay, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Now both cops are telling me two different things. That's when things can get real bad.
I just wish they were on like a straight sidewalk and they approached, like tried to approach him like super aggressive, but he could have just ran away because they wouldn't have caught him. I would just love to see that. Like,
oh, try to catch
him. Know who that is?
But then one
of the fastest men alive.
He would have showed up to the game and played. You see him on TV after you just try to arrest this man.
My friend Jay said that man got arrested and then what, had 130 years? that is a huge flex.
Yeah. And then his touchdown celebration with the handcuffs behind his back.
I loved it. Eddie, props to the cameraman. I mean, that's a mad skill right there. That joke is switched from there so fast, like before we can see the celebration. You see how fast he did that. I was like, that takes some skill right there.
Like, you know, it's the producer in his ear probably.
Turn around.
Yeah. I'm doing it all
time. Prep for that. If Tyreek Hill scores, he's going to do something.
Yeah, they knew he was going to do something.
Yeah, they knew he was going to do something. So
take his helmet off, beat on his chest. He was going to do something.
Yeah, I was smart.
All right.
Well, I think is that it for today? I think that is it.
I think so.
All right. Let's read our scripture of the day. We pull up the handy dandy Word of God.
There's a debate going on today.
Yeah, I think there is. Ooh, whoa, this was a good one. Okay, well, look at usually the verse of the day just random. It's a pretty good one. This is from Isaiah 46, verse 4. It says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you." I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue. He says, I'm him. He says, I'm him. That's what God said. I like that.
That's where it come from.
Yeah. I'm him. That is where it come from. Yeah, I forgot that one little video.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I said amen.
Oh, but, I thought you were going to say amen. Like, amen.
No, I was about to say amen.
Oh, okay.
They talking about Christian McCaffrey. he probably hurt for a bunch of weeks. If he hurt, bro, I'm done for.
Wow, that's crazy. He has to have like the most amount of weeks as of a superstar injured.
He been hurt. He's been healthy the past few years, but it's just like, bro, now, man, bro. All I needed was him to tell me that. A day before or a few hours before. Not something. You can't tell me that 10 minutes before the game start. Tobias had no business winning that fantasy.
Hey, that was funny.
And the crazy thing is I was gonna pick up Moody or not Moody,
Mason.
But they didn't designate Christian McCaffrey to out yet. So I couldn't put him on IR until they did.
Yeah, bro, I grabbed him so fast, like, nope. Like, I think I dropped Mike Williams. I was like,
I was going to either have to drop Christian McCaffrey or I guess I could have dropped the Jets defense. But it was like, I just,
yeah, you could.
I thought they would have did an out quicker.
I mean, you could have won because he had, what, 20 points?
Yeah, I would have won.
Yeah, you would have won.
And then the Jets defense didn't help. I lost the point.
I was like, let's go. I saw that. I was like, thank goodness. But
all right, y'all.
All right, I think that is it. We had a long long one today, I think. It was all good. All good. We had some good topics. We're going to have some more stuff like this, some more, maybe not as serious non-sports ones, but we definitely have some good ones. You had a sneak peek the last couple weeks. So keep tuning in. Until next week, we'll see y'all What Now fans. Take care.
Peace. Follow us on everything.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you. You never heard